Hello and welcome. Glory to God, for He is good, and His love endureth forever, and His word is alive and powerful. Pastor Josh loves you, and Jesus loves you even more. And so that's why we're here, to hear the word of Jesus and have some Jesus time so that He can bless each and every one of you, provide for you, protect you, and lead you toward a life of truth that sets you free from the evil one and from the traps of the devil. And so today we're going to be looking at faithfulness and foolishness. And God, He is the faithful God. And He's the one that we follow, the one we obey, the one we love, because He never lets us down. And because He is the best way ever and the best relationship ever. Amen. And so, glory to God and happy Sunday. It is July the 21st. And we're looking into 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 1 to 16. And we're going to be going deep diving into this passage and having some reflection and having some ways to grow. And so you're going to want to listen very carefully, because His word is alive and powerful. And it is so, so good, so sweet, like your favorite food in the world. And tasty, sweet like honey, and also rich like gold and silver. Amen. So we're so glad to be able to do this. And then I'll say a word of prayer. Actually, let me just start with that. Lord God, we start with You. We love You because You are alive and powerful. And we pray that as people come in, that they will hear the word of God, be built upon Your firm foundation, accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, be encouraged as Christians and followers of Christ, and be one accord in one mind together as we read this word from 2 Kings. Father God, I love You because You loved us first, and we come before You with a humble heart, and we long to learn more and more each and every day. In Jesus' most holy name, amen, amen. Let's get this done. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 1 to 16. It says, in the second year of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, king, son of Joash, the king of Judah, began to reign. And he was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. And his mother's name was Jehoadin, and she was from Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but did not as his father David had done. In everything he followed the example of his father Joash. And the high places, however, were not removed, and the people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. And after the kingdom was firmly in his grasp, he executed the officials who had murdered his father, the king. And yet he did not put the sons of the assassins to death, in accordance to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, where the Lord commanded, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their fathers. Each is to die for their sins. And then he was one who defeated 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt and captured Selah in battle, calling it Jokthiel, and the name it has to this day. And then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, with the challenge, come, meet me face to face. And then Jehoash, king of Israel, replied to Amaziah, king of Judah, a thistle of Lebanon sent a message to the cedar in Lebanon, give your daughter to my son in marriage. Then a wild beast in Lebanon came along and trampled the thistle underfoot. And you have indeed defeated Edom, and now you are arrogant. Glory in your victory, but stay at home. Why ask for trouble and cause your own downfall, that Judah also? Amaziah, however, would not listen. So Joash, king of Israel, attacked, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at the Beth Shemesh in Judah. And then Judah was routed by Israel, and every man fled to his home. And then Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, and the son of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh. Then Jehoash went to Jerusalem, broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate, a section about 600 feet long. And he took all the gold and silver and all the articles found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace. And he took also the hostages and returned to Samaria. And as all the other events of the reign of Jehoash, what he did and his achievements, including his war against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Jehoash rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam, his son, succeeded him as king. Don't worry if there is a lot of things that you don't understand, but I will help you guys understand later, and we will be able to deep dive into this so that you may have a clarity of what God wants you to know in this passage. And so, Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. And we thank you that you are here with us each and every day. Lord God, we thank you that you're able to teach us, lead us in everything that we do. And that even when the passage, the history of Israel is so hard to understand, but it shows us snippets of different reigns, of different kings coming to rule, but then failing. But then ultimately, it ends up with Jesus and the genealogy of Jesus, the ancestors of Jesus, the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers of Jesus is mentioned here. So, Lord, we get to see how your power is worked through sinful people, unperfect people, and you still kept your promises and prophecy alive. And so, Lord, we know that you are in charge and that you have great plans for each and everyone here. And we repent, and we no longer want to be living in our sin. We want to live in your freedom, in your peace, in your glory. Welcome. Yeah, I recognize you guys. And so today we're starting a new division, the third division within 2 Kings, which is the utter disintegration and fall of Israel and the northern kingdom, and the tragic end due to unbroken streams of wickedness and lawlessness. And so, over here for 150 years, since the division of the kingdom, the Israelites had lived wicked, lawless lives, engaging in false worship, rejecting the Lord, and as a result, both the northern and southern kingdom has deteriorated, has fallen, and were now a weak politically, they were weak economically, they were weak militarily, socially, and spiritually. They were weak because there was no God on their side. But that's similar to our own country, United States of America. We're becoming weaker and weaker financially, politically, economically, militarily, getting weaker because God was taken out of our government. God was taken out of our schools. God was taken out of families. God was taken out of individuals. And that's why we see our own country being deteriorated, being weakened socially, spiritually, politically, economically, militarily. But then, that means we must bring Jesus back into our life. First, into your life. Because you're responsible to carry on the light of God, carry on the promises of God, and carry on His goodness, His message, the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is our job. And that's why I'm here today, to share His good news, to allow you to experience His love, His presence, which is victorious, which is good, which is mighty to save, which can bring you out of darkness into his eternal presence, his eternal light. And so, yeah, Jesus is the way. And he's the truth. He's the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And so, as we look at kingdoms, we look at its politics, economics, military, socially, the like people's, the citizens' health, and spiritually. And likewise, we look at our own self, mentally, physically, relationally, spiritually, financially. We look at our own life, evaluate it, and I found my lowest point was when I was so far from God. My lowest point was when I rejected God and just went about my own way. I was stuck in isolation. So then my relationship with other people was nil, was gone. I left my two jobs, teaching and also working in startup company. I left it financially gone, nil, no stability. That's almost like economically. I was not connected to God, so spiritually I was dead. And politically, my mind was not right. I was just wasting it away, gaming it away. And a lot of people are swiping their life away, gaming their life away, drinking their life away. They're wasting their life away. And that's because they don't have God in their life. In order to have a life that is productive, a life that is vibrant, a life that is alive and well, with meaning and purpose, we need Jesus. We need God to be our Lord and Savior. We need to follow in his ways and not our own ways. We need to start sowing into the Spirit, spending time, energy, effort into the Spirit, into God, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Only then will you grow and you'll experience, and you can experience, exponential growth in your life. You can do it because God is, he is all powerful, and he is the way, the truth, the life. He is the one that adds to you, that pulls you up, because he's the God who is unlimited power, unlimited knowledge, and unlimited presence, while we are limited. And when we sow into our own desires, our own selfishness, then we become limited. I mean, even more limited. We become smaller. We become lost. And that ends up in corruption, in destruction, in ruin, in pain, in suffering. And so because of this divisive spirit, the devil comes to divide, to deteriorate, to destroy, to steal, to kill. But God, Jesus, he came to give you life, and life abundant, life to the fullest. And so we can see how, as these nations, these kingdoms, were worshiping false gods, false idols, leading people towards the wrong way, we can see how they were weakened politically, economically, militarily, socially, and spiritually. And in addition, both kingdoms, the northern and southern kingdom of Israel, they were suffering due to the oppression of the Syrian people, the Syrian Empire. And there was little hope for a bright future among the people because of their self-centered, indulgent, in sinful lifestyles. And there was little chance of their society and nation of ever again becoming strong and prosperous as was King David, King Solomon, because they loved the Lord. They followed the Lord. They were humble and willing to hear of God's warning and to turn to Him and allow God to transform their lives. And so the future can only be the inevitable hand of utter destruction and ruin. For God's patience with the Israelites and their leaders were bound to be running out. However, in the present division of the scripture, the reader, we, get to see an amazing event. The Lord had mercy upon the Israelites, both the northern and the southern kingdom. And note what the author of the 2 Kings says in the former chapter. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 33, it says, "But the Lord was gracious to them, and had compassion on them, and turned to them, because His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and will not destroy them, and cast them from His presence until now." He was patient with them. And you see, Jesus, God, He is patient with you too. He is saying, "I did not return from heaven to earth to stop all commotions, to bring all people who believe in me to me, because I want you to save more people. I want more souls to be saved. I want more people to have the opportunity to hear the gospel and to repent and to declare Jesus as their Lord and Savior." God is long-suffering. He is patient. Just like He's patient with the Israelites. For 150 years, they've been sinning. But yet, He gave them chance after chance, repeatedly pursued them, and gave them mercy and grace and compassion. Yet, they still worshipped the God of their own old ways, the golden calves, things that don't talk, things that are dead, things that have no life or never had life. They still worship those things. They're worshiping money, worshiping the rain god, the ocean god, the sea god, the land god, worshiping the poles, the tree gods, the goddess of fertility. They're worshiping different things that don't bring them life. Instead, it's a false image of God. There is only one God. That is Jesus Christ Himself. God Himself, Yahweh, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Triune God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In which we coined because we cannot fathom who God is except to look in the Bible where He was three in one. He came, He created the earth, the heavens and the earth, through the Word, and Jesus is the Word. The best picture of the Trinity, Triune God, all three together, really important. Do you know when it was? It was when Jesus got baptized. The heavens opened and there was a booming voice. "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased." This is the Heavenly Father speaking. And then the Holy Spirit descended as a dove onto Jesus. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you're thinking, "Man, that doesn't make sense. Three beings and one? Isn't that three gods or multiple gods?" No, it's one God. It's almost like water. Like gas. Is that water? Or like steam. Is that water? Yes. Ice. Is that water? Yes. That's a solid form. Liquid. Water. H2O. Is that water? Yes. All three are water. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's all H2O. All the same element. But one is solid. One is gas. One is liquid. It's all water, all H2O. So God is similar, just like that. Good. And although the people and the leaders of Israel. They had given no indication of interest in the Lord. The Lord, He took the initiative and gave them one last chance to repent. The northern kingdom of Israel received one final opportunity to turn to the Lord, to turn from their wicked ways, their lawless and unjust ways. And once again, the Lord poured out His blessings of success, stability, security, prosperity upon the people by giving them an era of success and prosperity. The Lord longed for the people to realize that their blessings had come from Him. Just like we should realize all the blessings, all the things that we have, the food, the air, the clothing, the environment, it's all from God, the life that we have. It's from God and His blessings. And that's why we should rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in every all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ. He's already given you eternal life. Life after this life. Death is not the end. There is life afterwards. And that is why He gave you the Holy Spirit, God, to live in you, to empower you, to bless you, to allow you to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, all these things. He uses you to produce blessings to other people. And not only blessing other people, but it blesses you as well. And so in their realization, there was hope that they would turn from their unrighteous ways back to Him. And this period of success and prosperity came during the reigns of Jeroboam II in Israel and Amaziah, who was also known as Uzziah in Judea. But as the prophets Amos, Hosea pointed out, instead of arousing the people to turn to the Lord, the enormous success and prosperity caused by the leaders and people to be proud, boastful, and self-sufficient. And you know, God humbles the proud. He resists the proud. These people were proud of their success and prosperity. They did not give all glory to God. You see, next month, I'll be hitting 1 million subscribers on YouTube. And you see, I don't feel anything. But I give all glory to God. I don't feel proud. I feel just like all glory to God, because this is all building His kingdom so that we can have 1 million subscribers having the opportunity to hear about Jesus. Every single video I push out, every short I push out, is so that people can hear more about Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. To hear about His love, His grace, His mercy. To hear about this promise of God, of eternal life, eternal glory, eternal peace, eternal joy in the Lord. The good news of Jesus. But then the Israelites, having this success and security, prosperity, it caused them to be boastful, self-sufficient, and proud. It caused their ego to be blown up. And them to say, hey, I did this by myself. And they did not give glory to God. And that's why we're called not to chase these things. Chase success. Chase prosperity. Chase the money or materialistic things. Instead, we should be chasing our Lord, our Savior. And He will add to you when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He will give you more. He will add to your treasures in heaven and on earth, to your wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment. He will add to you everything that you need. The Bible really says, godliness plus contentment is true wealth, is true gain. And so you absolutely must chase that godliness, that holiness, sanctification in Christ, righteousness in God. Turn to Him and not turn to the world, not turn to the universe, not turn to the false gods or idols or substances of the world. You must spend time with Him. The more time you spend with someone, the more you become like them. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you become like Jesus, like God. And so spend time with Him in prayer, in reading the Word of God, which is so important, that you self-educate yourself with God. Not only have Pastor Josh pour into you. During the next week, I'm going to be one of the leaders in the retreat coming up for my youth. And then I'm not going to have good internet. I'm going to be in the mountains called Mount Hermon, where there is no reception for our phones. No good internet for our computers to live stream. Who's going to feed you then? Well, it's only 4 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday and Thursday, I'm going to try to live stream. Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to be in the mountains. Won't have any access. But I'm praying, as I give you this fish, you won't go hungry today. But teach a man to fish, then you won't go hungry for a lifetime. So I'm calling you to read the Word of God, to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the New Testament. Get to know who Jesus is, our Lord, our Savior, what He says, how He lives, what He thinks. Get to know Him so that He can be your personal Savior, relational Savior, relationship with Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, the prosperity, the success, has caused them to be boastful and proud and not turning to the one true God who gave them that victory. Instead, they turned to themselves. And they glorified their own abilities and achievements, ignoring, denying, and rejecting the Lord. And the king and the people, they continued their downward spiral into utter corruption and ruin and destruction. And thus, the inevitable hand of judgment fell upon the northern kingdom of Israel. And they entered into a period of severe disorder, political disorder thereafter. Baby pants coming. And then the nation was conquered by the Assyrians, who some years later defeated and replaced the Syrians as the dominant world power. And Samaria and the capital of Israel was destroyed, and the people were exiled by the Assyrian king, Shalmaneser. And in discussing why God executed judgment against the northern kingdom, it is interesting to note that God gave an astounding 20 what? Make sure he's feeding. Here's the baby. 22 reasons for the judgment in Scripture. And Samaria, the capital of Israel, was destroyed and the people exiled by the Assyrian king Shalmaneser the fifth. Shalmaneser in 722 BC. King Shalmaneser, in discussing why God's judgment against the northern kingdom was there, why he executed, it's interesting to note that God gives an astounding 22 reasons for judgment in the scripture. Hey, he finished. Good job. That was fast. And so Judah, lasted a little longer than Israel because of good and righteous king who occasionally ruled the nation. Oh, and for this reason, the Lord delayed their judgment, hoping that the leaders and people would make permanent decisions and commitment to the Lord. I'm going to move this. And every generation and Judeans needed to be taught to live a consistent and righteous life, to acknowledge the Lord alone as the living and one true God. And we too have to acknowledge God as our Lord, our Savior, as the one and true living God. We cannot be turning to the ways of the world. Whoa, he is moving. But as has been seen since David, the rulers and generations refused to heed to the word of the Lord and warnings of the prophets, and thus one of the primary causes of the coming judgment upon Judah is that of inconsistency, and the generations of the Judean people had the major flaw of being half-hearted, double-minded, indecisive, indifferent, neglectful, and just inconsistent. You see, consistency is key to success. If you want success in your life, you need to be consistent first in the Word of God, consistent in your faith in God, consistent in a relationship with God, speaking with Him, talking with Him, and reading the Word of God for yourself. You must be consistent in showing up so that you will not be going to the other things of the world, so that you can be blessed by God. If you are consistent in your business, consistent in growing your life in Christ, you will see your life transform into ways that you cannot have imagined. And that's why we are consistent. I am consistent in coming out each and every day, doing live stream every day in the Word of God, so that we can build the community here and we can find the Lord our God in our everyday present, and that we can learn more about Him. So consistency is key, even to building this channel. God was able to bless the channel because of the consistency in walking in His ways, in following Him, in obeying God, our Lord, Savior, in what He commands and what He wants us to do. And we're here to build our life upon Him, to be built up. His word is so powerful. And that's why I'm sharing with you guys this good news. And that's why it's so important to spend as much time with Him as possible. And so we are here. And God cares about you. Amen. And so, just as seen for David and the rulers and generations refusing to heed to the word of God, the warnings of the prophets, thus, one of the primary causes of the coming judgment upon Judah is that inconsistency. And if you are consistent and saying Jesus forever, Jesus first forever in your life, if you're consistent in that, going to Jesus every day, wow, you're going to see your life so just blessed, protected, and provided with so many things. But if you reject Jesus, then you're going to see just like this inconsistency. If you're not consistent in following and walking in His ways, life gets difficult. Life is already hard. It's hard enough. But life without Jesus is even harder. And you can see so many people, they reach the pinnacle in life. They get everything they have from the world, yet they're not satisfied. Yet they're empty. They're broken. Yet they're lost in darkness and unsatisfied. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus can give us what we need each and every day and for eternity. You see, death is not the end. This physical body of death is not the end. There is eternity afterwards. Death is the beginning of eternity. And if you say yes to Jesus, you're going to have eternal life in Him, eternal glory with Him, eternal presence of God in your life. That's heaven. But if you say no to Jesus and reject Him, then you're going to be experiencing eternal separation from God. And that is exactly not something that I don't want you to be, don't want you to end up. Because it is suffering, destruction, corruption, injustice. That is somewhere for the devil and the demons that rejected God. Yet they want to drag you down. But yeah, because, and those who sin, and we all sin, we all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That death is that eternal separation from God. That punishment, that penalty is eternal corruption, lake of fire. But God, He gave you everlasting life through Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the Messiah. Because God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life in Him. And all you gotta do is believe and confess Jesus as your Lord, your Savior, and believe that God has raised Him from the dead, and now He ascended to heaven, and He's given you salvation. He's covered you because He was the living sacrifice, the Lamb of God, covered you with His blood so that you are seen as righteous, seen as holy, seen as sanctified in Christ. And that is what God sees. He sees you as pure and holy now when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you repent of your sin, when you flee from those temptations and sin and reject it, and you start loving what God loves and hate what God hates. And not only did He give you salvation, but He gave you the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Him from the dead, the same Spirit that healed the blind, healed the lame, the same Spirit, that same power is in you that drove out the demons. The demons shudder at the name of Jesus, which lives in you too. And so Judah lasted longer than Israel because they actually tried to repent, because there were more righteous kings who ruled the nation. And so God delayed their judgment. But then ultimately they rejected God. And the moment they rejected God was the moment God was not able to protect them. They rejected His protection, His provision, His wisdom, which is also for us. So you must accept His vision, His wisdom, His wonders, His mercy, His love. You must accept it into your life so that you may walk in His light. And you are the light of the earth, the world, and you are the salt of the earth. And so that's why it's so important that we continue walking in His ways, because He's the source of that light. He's the source, the power that empowers us. When He lives in you, man, God is in you. Heaven is in you. Power is in you. He empowers you. And you start being able to produce for the Lord. Amen. Not for yourself, but for God. And that production is for eternal life. It's an eternal perspective. Amen. Wow. We can learn so much here. And so, in chapter 14, verse 1 to 16, we see a summary of Amaziah's reign, which was a partial, half-hearted commitment, which was taboo. God wants your full heart, not just half your heart. He wants you to completely worship Him, the one true God, and not have any other distractions, idols in your life. And then his background with that, his father was Joash, the king of Judah, who reigned righteously for 30 years. And then the next rest of his life, he made mistakes. He turned from God. And so Amaziah, his term was for 29 years. And his mother was Jehoadan. And his spiritual commitment, he did what was right, but not as David has done. He followed in his father's example, but he failed to remove the high places of worship. And back then, in the high places of worship would be a place where they sacrificed to idols, false gods. And he did not remove that destruction. He did not eliminate the false gods in the life of the Israelites. Instead, he let it persist. And we must not let false gods or idols or sin persist in our heart. Amen. And so he followed in his father's example, failing to remove the high place of worship, and was not wholeheartedly committed. And his execution of justice, he was put to death. He put to death the officials who assassinated his father. And then he did not murder the sons of assassins, as was the custom of Near Eastern rulers. He spared the lives as the law of God dictates. And so we can see how he was still obedient to God, but not completely obedient to God. And not being completely obedient to God, it's actually still falling short, still not completely putting your whole heart in trusting God, in repenting to Him, and to saying, "Yes, Lord, you are my Lord, my Savior." And so, what happened? His major military victory was that he conquered Edom, the Edomites. He killed 10,000 soldiers, and he captured the city Selah, which was a fortress that was so strong and could not be penetrated. And then there was an unwise declaration of war by Amaziah against the northern kingdom of Israel, which was a picture of boastful pride and arrogance. The declaration of war was sent to King Jehoash, and a warning was sent back to Amaziah of Judah. And Jehoash warned that Israel was like a strong cedar, and Judah was nothing more than a thistle that can be easily trampled underfoot. And Jehoash stated that Amaziah was filled with pride and arrogance due to his victory over the Edom, and he was only asking for more trouble, and certainly defeat in attacking Israel. Amaziah rejected Jehoash's warning, and then this initiative seized a quick strike and launch against Jehoash at Beth Shemesh, only 15 miles west of Jerusalem, and he routed the troops of Judah, sent them fleeing. The Israelites, he captured the king Amaziah of Judah, and he conquered Jerusalem, breaking down a section of the wall about 600 feet long. And he looted the temple and palace of their treasure and furnishing, and he took hostages, including the king, to return to Samaria. So we can see how the king of Judah failed, how his pride caused his downfall. His pride caused him to not be able to be as successful as a king. Instead, he led himself to a trap. He led himself to the traps of the devil, of his pride, of the world. And likewise, we must not live in pride, because that will be our downfall. God will resist and humble the proud, but the humble, he will exalt. So we can see here the summary of Jehoash's reign repeated. To mark the end of his life, the release of Amaziah to return as king of Judah. And his reign was recorded in the book, The History of the Kings of Israel. And his death and burial was in Samaria. And his successor was his son, Jeroboam II. And that's what we look at tomorrow. And tomorrow we get to... today. And tomorrow we get to look at the 15 years remaining of Amaziah's life and his death, a lost opportunity to serve. So what can you learn from this? There was misplaced faith. King Amaziah, he begins well with God. He begins following the footsteps of his father Joash in the early years of his reign, executing his father's assassins, and he firmly secures the kingdom. And then he leads Judah to great victory over Edom. But Amaziah his pride leads him astray. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, we read that after defeating the Edomites, he begins worshiping their idols, and later he issues a rash challenge to the king Jehoash of Israel, full of misplaced confidence in his military power. And Jehoash, he tries to dissuade him from the war path, but Amaziah, he disregards this counsel, and Judah is thoroughly defeated when God grants. So, when God grants you and gives you the gift, you must not worship the gift. You have to always worship the giver of the gift. You must not worship the things, the earthly successes, and be careful not to overly think highly of yourself. You must always be humble. Always have a heart that says, yes, it's all glory to God. All glory to God. All the things that I have, all the achievements, all the milestones that I achieve, that is from God Himself and not from my own doing. So if you place your faith in your and your abilities and those in your own abilities, then you will see yourself fall short. But if you place your abilities in God or your faith in God, you will see great things happen, and that faith will grow stronger and stronger, and it will bless you. Faith is the assurance in things that are unseen. You see, you can see all things in front of you. All these things are temporary. All these things, what is seen, will fade away one day and be destroyed by fire. All these achievements are futile. But then, what is unseen is eternal. And that is our soul, our spirit. And when it is eternal, when this body dies, then your spirit will come out your body. And it will either be in eternal presence of God in somewhere that's so much better. To die is gain. To live is Christ. You'll be in a promised land. A land where there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more corruption, no more disease. You'll be in a place with a new and glorious body. And a place where there's just the presence of God. But if you reject Jesus, then you'll be in a place where it's of confusion, of pain, suffering, long, just eternal suffering and destruction. And that's why it's so important that we turn to the Lord our God each and every day and not let our abilities become a snare, our gifts become a snare and cause us to forget God. Amen. Amen. So, when opportunity arises, you must grab it or you lose the opportunity. And I love talking about opportunities. If you're not ready for the opportunity, then you're going to fall short. You're going to lose. You might get $2 million in your bank account, but if you're not ready to receive that $2 million, you're going to splurge it. And some people might even kill themselves splurging that $2 million. Not ready for it. But if you humble yourself, you prepare yourself, and allow God to grow you, lead you, then you will be ready. And when you're ready and that opportunity comes and you grab it, beautiful things happen when you're prepared, when you're ready and that opportunity is there. Beautiful things happen. And so the word lost opportunity could be written across the faces and the tombstones of many of us. For the opportunity, one after the other, have been made available to you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you grab hold and take the chance, then He will bless you. He will protect you. He will lead you down the path of righteousness. But if you fail, then one day you will find yourself in confusion and say, I was going to say that tomorrow. I was going to accept Jesus tomorrow. But what if there was no tomorrow? What if today was your last day living on earth? Would you have been able to accept him? Why did you reject him? Why did you just say tomorrow, then tomorrow, and just procrastinate in accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Why didn't you build your life upon his firm foundation? If you fail to do so, then it's going to be game over. GG. Then either you're going to be in eternal heaven or eternal hell. And my heart longs to save more souls, longs to plant the seeds of the gospel, to share the love of Jesus with you, so that you may be built up, to share it with other people, so that you may continue the great commission of Jesus Christ, of sharing the good news. What Jesus did, giving up his divinity, his power, his glory in heaven, coming down to earth, living as a humble man who never sinned, who is perfect, who is righteous, who had a relationship with God, seen in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And then he died as a criminal. Even when he did nothing wrong, he was falsely accused, offered up by the high priest to be killed and executed, being whipped on the back, his flesh being torn, 39 lashes with stone and glass, whipping him for our transgressions, for our sin, for our disease, for our sickness. He would pay the price, being whipped, carrying the cross up Mount of Skull, and then dying on the cross, hanging there for 6 hours, bleeding with the nails pierced through his hands, through his feet, and then a javelin spear piercing his side, where water and blood gushed out. And he died, and he was dead. And he said, "It is finished. And Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." This is our Lord, our Savior. This is what he's done for us. That death that we deserve, that he took away from you. He took away your punishment. He took away that eternal separation, eternal death from God. And our death, separation from God, is far worse than that. But he experienced it. And so that's why we got to glorify him for dying on the cross for us, for paying for our sin. But the good news is, Jesus did not stay dead. Jesus rose from the dead in victory, taking the keys from the devil. Rose in victory over sin, over death, over the grave, over the world. And now he has given you this opportunity of eternal life in Christ. Eternal relationship with him here on earth and in heaven. He rose in victory. He is a victorious God. He broke through death, broke through sin. And so as we live our life, we should live in a life of Jesus, in a life forever. Every season should be Jesus, from Jesus to Jesus. Not Jesus to the world, not Jesus to the universe, or Jesus to the things of the devil. No, Jesus to Jesus each and every day. Jesus to Jesus to Jesus. Every season, you go from Jesus to Jesus. And that way, you will see that you who live in Jesus are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. And now the new has come, and so you live from Jesus to Jesus, from victory to victory, from glory to glory, not glory to shame, not glory to regret, from glory to glory, breakthrough to breakthrough, life to life. You go from strength to strength, joy to joy. What a great promise we have in Jesus. And so, we love him. We care about other people who are going through darkness, who are going through difficult times. Amen. Jesus to Jesus. He is so good. And so from one opportunity to another, God makes an opportunity for you to turn to Him, to follow Him. Do not fail to hold on to Him, to grab onto the chance of Jesus, because He's the best gift, the best relationship you can ever have. And in many cases, fear kept a lot of people from seizing the opportunity. Fear of failure, of insecurity, fear of losing money, or fear of taking risk, or fear of the time demanded. In other cases, opportunity was lost because we are not willing to discipline ourselves, to commit to the one true God, to discipline, to reject wasting our time, reject the things of the world, reject the things that bring instant gratification. It's not worth it because we're always going to be chasing the waves and winds if we don't discipline ourselves, if we chase the world. The personal discipline and sacrifice is required so much in our life. And that way you'll see true success in your life when you are disciplined, when you're walking in His ways. So think about the people who have not secured education, develop the skills because they're simply not willing to commit themselves to discipline required to study and attend classes and training sessions. In dealing with sinful, wicked behavior, how many have lost the opportunity to be good example, to be role models to others, to say no to the things that are distracting, that are not healthy, that are not of God's will? They failed to reject the offer that to take the drug, to take the drink, the first smoke, to look at pornography or literature or film. So many people lost the opportunity to sex outside of marriage. Again, these are lost opportunities which could be written across the face or tombstones of many people. Lost opportunity is the practical subject of this present scripture that we're reading. And as the background of this chapter, Syria, they've been weakened as a nation. As a result, both northern and southern kingdom was able to gain some freedom from the tyranny of Syria. And instead of taking this opportunity to strengthen their nations economically, militarily, spiritually, the two kings waged wars against each other. And then war brought their downfall. War was the thing that weakened them, squandering the years of peace they etched into the history of their nations. These tragic words lost opportunity. As a result, they continued the downward spiral of wicked behavior, madly rushing to the day when God could no more and was forced to execute His final judgment upon them. And this, we can see, as a summary of Amaziah's reign, a partial, half-hearted commitment, and the unwise declaration of war of Amaziah against the northern kingdom of Israel, which was a picture of boastful pride and arrogance. Wow. And we can see how this is a passage where God could not save them any longer. He was faithful in protecting Amaziah for the first decade of his rule, but he took advantage of that safety and security and turned to his own pride and ways and turned to fight against the northern kingdom. Natalia, thank you for joining me the whole time from the beginning. I recognize that. So, two application questions. What is the proper way for believers to think about our gifts and abilities? We must not worship the gifts that we have. We must worship the giver of the gifts. Good morning. So we must give all glory to God. Have a thankful heart. Come before God and thank Him for all the things He's done for us, for the gifts that He's given us. Number two, what could indicate a misplaced faith in one's gift? What could indicate a misplaced faith in one's gift? Well, we can see Uzziah, he started worshiping his gift, his security, his military, the gift of the social, economical power that he's gotten, security and stability. He had faith in his own kingdom, in his own self, which caused him to wage war against the other people who were having peace with him and breaking peace. And with that came his downfall. And likewise, we are given the gift of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, faithfulness, goodness. We are given these gifts. And some people, they start worshiping love. They say, I'm loved, so I'm going to love and take advantage and break some peace. I have joy. I'm going to take advantage of that and laugh at the face of others and break some peace with other people because of that. And so, we must not misplace our faith. We must not place our faith in the world, in the universe, in other people. We must place our faith in Jesus Christ, ourselves. And our love, maybe that could be placing a faith in another lover. Or joy, placing our faith in something that makes us happy, temporarily. Yeah. So today, we're going to be praying for Slovakia. And the capital city is Bratislava. And in Slovakia, it's got a population of 5.4 million. We're going to be interceding for them. Now, Christianity is 85%. Agnostic is 12%. And Slovakia is a landlocked nation that was part of the Czechoslovakia during the Velvet Divorce in 1993. And it is one of few nations that has been able to persevere and preserve its language, culture, despite being occupied by the Soviet and Nazi Germany at different times. And Slovakia, their strong Christian heritage means many professors believe in God. And unfortunately, there is a sense of spiritual stagnation as many Christians are nominal believers. The nation's depression and suicide rates are among the highest in Europe. So we must pray for the spiritual stagnation to be transformed into spiritual awakening. We must praise God for the evangelism and opportunities that Slovakia's Christians' heritage offers. So let's pray together. First, for Slovakia. Second, for people who want to give their life to Christ as their Lord and Savior. And third, pray for everyone here who is here, who came through here, and who is going through this live stream. And for others. Amen. So Lord God, we lift up Slovakia to you, with the capital city of Bratislava, with a population of 5.5 million. We pray for the Christians there that are living there, that they would grow on fire for you, to actually have a relationship with you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to actually read the Word of God for themselves so that they can understand who you are, what you do, how you operate, and so that they can operate under your guidance, your promise, and so that they can lean upon you each and every day. Lord God, we pray for the stagnation of the nation, that they would be transformed into a spiritual awakening, spiritual revival amongst the people, so that they would be a lighthouse in Europe, and that other people, nations, may be able to see how when they bring Jesus back into their country and allow Jesus to rule and reign, then they will be blessed protected, and provided for everything that they need. Lord God, we thank you for all the evangelism opportunities that Slovakia's Christian heritage offers. How you reign, how you are in charge, how you are part of the people. Even under the Soviet reign and the German Nazi rule, they were still able to keep their language, their culture, and their belief in you. Lord, I pray that you strengthen them in Jesus' name. And now we lift up all those who want to give their life to Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord God, we come before you. We are humbled by your word. We love you because you loved us first. And we are so broken in darkness, in pain, and we need Jesus, the Lord and Savior, who saves us. So we accept Jesus into our life. We commit to you, to reading your word, to reading about Jesus in the Bible, about knowing more about God, and also to building your community, to being the light of the world, salt of the earth. And Lord God, we commit to you, so Lord, be our King each and every day. Not just a temporary commitment, but a full commitment, saying Jesus forever in our life. In Jesus' name. And Lord God, we also lift up everyone here under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, bless them, be with them, protect them, lead them, grow them, build them up in your presence, in your cornerstone, upon your foundation. Let you be their tower of refuge, strong tower. Let you be the one they turn to in times of trouble, in times of crisis. Lord God, I pray that you, in every circumstances, would walk with them, give them wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and discernment in everything that they do. Lord, we love you because you loved us first. And we thank you for the word, for teaching us to have a full heart that is after you. You want our heart, not to have a half-hearted heart. And then you will add to each and everyone here. You are the living water, the water that flows through us, the river of life. You are the bread of life, so that we may never go hungry, never go thirsty, never be lost. But in you, we find our life. So Lord God, we come before you. We love you so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hector, Natalia, Rapture, Starlight, God bless you. Tammy Sears, Orbito, amen. Fire Warrior, hello, God bless you. What a great session. We can see how God is working. Thank you for the follow, for the sub. It helps the channel. All glory to God. We know, praise the Lord. Amen. Hannah Peterson, God is good. Amen. Thank you, JP. Yeah, you're welcome, Joshua. That is awesome. What time tomorrow? Tomorrow morning, when I wake up, I try to do a live stream. I wake up around 6 or 7. Hello, Cyber Beast. God bless you. Dave Moff, hello. Cyber Beast says, I accepted Jesus and I asked for forgiveness. Amen. Glory to God. For he is good. And the angels rejoice. And we all rejoice together that you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You know, two people gave their life to Christ in my youth group on Friday. And I praise God for that. There was one who was going to ninth grade. And then he never heard the gospel before. He never heard about Jesus before. He never heard about the faith that we have before. Yet, hearing and learning about it, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Being going to ninth grade, and he has a friend, Daniel. Daniel brought him to church, brought him to our youth group, so that he was able to be blessed, that he was able to be led into a relationship with Jesus. It's the beginning. It's just the beginning. Now we need to pray every day, read the Word of God for yourself, and also find a community which loves the Lord, which is helping you grow. And here I am also helping you grow, pushing you towards him, giving you this ability to push through your day, but I'm just a resource. God is the main source of that life, and we speak His word, we speak His truth, and we speak His love. Amen. Amen. And so, actually, there's still more to learn. I think it's great that we're able to go through this. I'm going to read through some of the thoughts. And then I have church too later on. Hello, Akinola. Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Amen. Maritza Garcia. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Hello, cutie face. God bless you. Praise God. Baby is so adorable. All glory to God. One more day till he's 1 month. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God is so good. Yeah, we praise God for little baby. Hello, little lucky legendary. Good to see you. Inquisitive 2. Hello there. God bless you. Lucky turkey. Hello, Elsa. Good to see you. Amen. Says something. Sometimes it's hard for me to talk about Jesus' word when people start being disrespectful. Shrimp bubbles. Yo, what's up, Pastor? Jessica. Amen. I hear you. It is hard. So what's most important is that you become on fire for Him. That you find people who love the Lord too. And when you find your tribe, then you can branch out from there. But yeah, start with people who love the Lord. Just talk with them. Have Bible study with them. Grow with them. Amen. Becky, the MBA. Hello. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Christina. Tandy, hello. Yeah. Emeralda. Free spirit. Hello. God bless you. And then people start being disrespectful. Yeah. And persecution is normal. Just like they rejected Jesus. They also, some people, they love the Lord. They love Jesus. But there's also people who hate Jesus. So we must continue walking in His ways and being faithful in following after our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here, we can see how God has called us to have a heart that is fully engaged with Him, fully committed to Him, and not engaged in false worship. So many people have a partial, half-hearted commitment to the Lord and to the church. Our heart belongs to God. We are committed to God. Luke chapter 12, verse 47, it says, "And that servant, that slave who knew his master's will, did not get ready or act according to his will receive many lashes." James chapter 1, verse 8 says, "A double-minded is unstable in all his ways." That's why it's so important to not be double-minded. Instead, to be clear in your ways, to be focused. Let your yes be yes, no be no. Forrest, welcome. Thanks for the follow. Glory to God. Starlight. Amen. Amen. And then boastful. Arrogance. Self-importance. Being puffed up with pride and arrogance. Takes so many people. Huh. We should take pride in our skills and achievements. Milestones. But we must not ever become puffed up. We must not let our pride get a hold of us. And that's why I'm proud of it. I'm happy that your life is being saved through this. I boast in the Lord and not in my own self. I boast in the Lord in the skills, the gifts, the abilities that He's given me. I boast in the Lord for the achievements, the milestones in my life. And that way I can give all glory to God. That way I can be humble in all my ways. That way I will not think too highly of myself or highly of myself. Instead, be humble always. Matthew chapter 23 verse 12 says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." James chapter 4 verse 6 says, "But he gives greater grace, therefore saying, God is opposed to the proud, but God gives grace to the humble." Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 3 says, "Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is God of knowledge, and with him his actions are weighed." Psalm chapter 10 verse 2 says, "In pride the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in their plots, which they have devised." Yes. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 19 says, "He who loves transgression loves strife. He who raises the door seeks destruction, raises his door." Yes, eh? You see, pride leads to downfall. Obadiah chapter 4 says, "Even though you build your build high like eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord." He says this to the Edomites, who actually lifted themselves up and were proud, prideful. Amen. Thank you, thank you. God bless you guys. Well, it's been a great live session. We have retreat tomorrow. Got a lot of work to do. But all glory to God. And may He be your Lord, your Savior. May He bless you, protect you, provide for you, give you wisdom, understanding, knowledge in everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Panda out for now. God bless you.